It's March 16th, 2009. Thanks for tuning in to The Sounds in My Head.
Only you will hear it without disturbing others.
It's a bi-weekly music podcast featuring songs and bands I think you might have missed. My name's Daniel.
When you've had a busy day full of problems, you can retire and listen in the dark.
Thanks again for listening to The Sounds in My Head.
It's a great way to finish the day.
Get ready.
Ah, I love that song right there. It was a band called Bell X1. They are from Ireland, and that song was called The Great Defector. It's from an album called Blue Lights on the Runway, which the lyric Blue Lights on the Runway was in The Great Defector, that song. So it's kind of like it's the title track, even though it isn't. And it was suggested to me, that song, by a fine listener in Ireland who suggested, why don't you do a St. Patrick's Day episode? This was months ago, when it looked like, you know, I was going to come back and start doing the show again, you know, like in February or something. And of course, I didn't. So now here it is, St. Patrick's Day is tomorrow, and really this should be like a St. Patrick's Day episode, but I didn't really want to make the first episode a special episode. I just wanted to make it like a normal catch-up episode, I guess. You know, hey, here's a bunch of crap that came out when I wasn't doing the show for a long time. So anyway, not doing a St. Patrick's Day episode, but I am going to open the show both with that song, fantastic, Bell X1, Great Defector, totally just amazing song. I love the, it's kind of like a, it's like the Talking Heads meets Vampire Weekend in that song. Do you know what I'm saying? Most songs aren't really like that. They are all like the Talking Heads, but I think they veer more into the Airborne Toxic Event kind of area. If you've listened to Airborne Toxic Event, I put them on the show because they came out with this EP and I was like, wow, this band is amazing. And then the album came out and I was like, wow, I really only like the one song that's on that EP because the album, it was just so mediocre. And I kind of think Bell X1 a lot like that. It's sort of like, wow, this is such generic, you know, not very interesting music for the most part, but that's this one song, so super great, and it was that one, that The Great Defector. So anyway, yeah, Great Defector, Bell X1, Ireland, playing them up front, and then, and thank you for that, by the way, Noel, really appreciate the thing. Sorry I'm not doing the whole themed episode like you suggested, but anyway. Up next, though, another band, also from Ireland, she's named Lisa Hannigan. She used to be with Damien Rice and whatever, but she broke off doing her own thing now, and I just think she's lovely. I do. I just think she's... I saw her performing on TV, I think on Leno or something. It was like the last week of Conan. I was watching TV to see the last episodes of Conan. Anyway, and I saw her on Leno, and I gotta say, she impressed me. She did a song called I Don't Know, which I'm gonna play, and I think I liked the version she did on TV a little more than the album version. The production on the album is a little adult contemporary, I think, and I think live, she's a little more indie rock or something. So take that with a grain of salt when you're listening to these two songs, which I think are still totally good songs, and I think the album's good. It's just that I feel like she could the production could be a little better. Anyway, so we're gonna hear Ocean and a Rock and I Don't Know, both are from her debut album called CISO, and it's pretty good stuff. Check it out. Lisa Hannigan from Ireland, right here on this non-St. Patrick's Day episode of The Sounds of My Head. We'll be right back.
is nothing to me.
I'm a librarian, a regular patron, a man in his late 40s or early 50s, and virtually technologically illiterate, asked me to print a few email attachments for him, photos of a young and attractive Russian woman. Many of the emails were titled, "I love you," or the like, and included explicit requests for money. I believe he's being scammed. May I intervene, or does that violate his privacy and my professional boundaries? NP, Lawrence, Kansas.
I don't know. Watch you smoke. Oh, what countries you've been to. If you speak any other languages other than your own, I'd like to meet you. I don't know if you drive. If you love the ground beneath you. I don't know if you write letters or you panic on the phone. I'd like to call you all the same if you want to. I am gay. I don't know if you can swim. If the sea is any draw for you. If you're better in the morning or when the sun goes down, I'd like to call you. I don't know if you can dance, if the thought ever occurred to you. If you eat what you've been given or you push it around your plate, I'd like to cook for you.
Keep my head, we could creep. The professional and delicate response is to give your patron excellent service without criticizing or embarrassing him. A skilled reference librarian often goes beyond a patron's specific request, suggesting resources he had not even considered. You can equip this fellow with the information he needs to protect himself from, or at least become aware of, possible fraud, and without using the words, "You love-drunk old fool." Ann Thornton, a director of reference and research services at the New York Public Library, concurs via email, quote, "If the librarian handles the matter in a confidential, courteous manner, and offers appropriate resources, he or she is providing a higher level of service. Therefore, it is well within the scope of his or her professional responsibility." Close quotes. Thornton suggests one such resource the patron might value. Quote, "He may want to take a look at some tips about protecting himself online. Provide him with a handout of best practices from a reputable organization such as the Internet Crime Complaint Center." Close quotes. Her approach is tactful and practical. A thoroughly ethical combination.
We'll be right back. I recognized a friend in a short video clip on an amateur pornography website. She is now a medical professional, wife, and mother, and I doubt that she posted it. Perhaps a former boyfriend did. I think she would want to know it's there, but fear the effect on our friendship if I tell her. Maybe she's better off not knowing. It's probably tough to get such a thing removed. Should I tell? Name withheld, New York.
The sound came out. I spoke to you in Japanese. Oh, my love, I cannot see. I heard your name and all at once there was no place I'd rather be. All at once there was no place that I would rather be. From the west to the east, I have flown to be near you. I have come all this way to be close, to be here with you. And now all my heart I will lay at your feet. My beloved, oh my sweet, all the gifts you have given me, the patience and the peace, cherry blossoms and the candy. I am yours, for as long as you will have me. I've packed my bag, I'm on my way, I am prepared for any season, I am prepared to stay. Here is my
coming forward could embarrass you, upset your friend, and threaten your friendship. Do it anyway. You yourself believe she would want to know about the video clip. The longer it is online, the greater the chances of its being seen by someone else who knows her. She can't protect herself unless she knows the clip is out there. Sometimes you must imperil a friendship to help a friend. It may well be tough to compel the site to remove this video clip, but your friend is entitled to try. Or she might want to take legal action against a treacherous ex, or at least attempt to learn who posted it. Even if she has few alternatives, she has the right to act on them, something she can do only if she knows her situation. By speaking up, you give her a measure of autonomy, a chance to do what she thinks best. And there is the off chance that she already knows about this video because she posted it, and no reason she should not. The intimate lives of even our closest friends can be a mystery. a caution. Resist the temptation to alert her anonymously, an approach that may shield you, but can leave her anxious and uncertain, fretting over who knows about this and the motives of her informant.
Well, since time out of mind, I've been lazy. In times before that, I was cruel. In times before that, I was mean, I was mad. Honey, I ain't never had nobody like you. Times before that, well, I was crazy. I saw the dark side of the moon, and the stars in the sky, they never caught my eye, 'cause I ain't never had nobody like you. I ain't never had nobody like you. Now it's just like A, B, C. Life's just like 1, 2, 3. I watched my old habits die, and it was painful. Sometimes it's painful in the light of the truth, but you kept me fast to the right, and I wanna thank you tonight. Honey, I ain't never had nobody like you. I ain't never had nobody like you. Now it's just like A, B, C. Life's just like 1, 2, 3. I trusted liars and thieves in my blindness. Honey, I was wasting away in the room. But now that I've been through that hell, I got a story to tell. Honey, I ain't never had nobody like you. I ain't never had nobody like you.
Okay, let's catch up a little bit. I talked so much up front, I didn't want to talk for a while. That was M. Ward. You know M. Ward from being M. Ward. And then he also was half of She and Him with Zoe Deschanel, which fantastic band, She and Him. Much better than M. Ward, frankly. But anyway, that song was called Never Had Nobody Like You. And it featured Zoe Deschanel. Not that you could really hear her, it's just background vocals. But it was from his new album called Hold Time, which is pretty good stuff. I actually really like this album more than most of his previous albums. So a lot of guest appearances by other singers. Music overall, pretty good. I think there's a handful of 5 stars and a bunch of 4-star tracks. And then I think the majority 3-star or something. But you know, there's not any like 2-star. It's like, it's pretty decent M. Ward record. So if you like that song, check out the whole of the M. Ward right there. And before M. Ward was a band called The Bird and the Bee. They're from Los Angeles, California. I like to play them. And that was their song Love Letter to Japan from their new album called Ray Guns Are Not Just the Future. And I think I might have actually heard that song in a commercial. So it might be completely pie in my face for playing them on my show. It might be like, you know, everyone's heard of The Bird and the Bee now. They're in like, you know, car commercials and stuff. I don't know. It's totally possible. I don't know for sure. I could look it up, but I'm not going to. Okay, before that was a band from Cincinnati, Ohio called The Heartless Bastards doing the title track to their album The Mountain. And The Heartless Bastards, pretty good stuff. That album, that song, it sounds like a guy singer, I think. I thought it was a guy singer, but it's not actually a guy singer. That's a girl singer, and all the album is a girl singer, who, she's the singer-songwriter for the band. Most of the songs sound more like a woman. So if you like that song, you're like, wow, I love this dude, you're not gonna like the album, because it mostly sounds like the chick, which it is. Okay, so Heartless Bastards, pretty good. Look for links to all that stuff on the Sounds of My Head website at thesoundsofmyhead.com. Okay, they're a very fun band. Lots of, you know, banjos and clown horns and washboard scraping, you know, that kind of thing. And they do primarily, compositions of their own. We're going to hear 2 off their most recent album, which came out last year, called Found a Reason. We're going to hear 2 songs. We're going to hear I Never Was a Cool One, followed by I Went Out. And they're both fantastic songs. You're really going to like this stuff if you like my show, I think, because it's pretty fun. And they have a bunch of earlier albums as well. I think the newest album is actually their best album. So have no fear if you just want to dive right in with the newest record. And if you really like it, work your way back, because I think the newest one's pretty strong. Found a Reason by Mad Tea Party. Check it out. Okay, so here we are. I Never Was a Cool One, followed by I Went Out. Right now on The Sounds of My Head.
Tired of neighborhood cats using my lawn as a litter box, I began live trapping them with the consent of the local animal control officer, who then delivers them to a shelter. I had tried other methods of repelling these cats and spoken to my immediate neighbors. These cats are either homeless or have bad owners. Either way, I say, the cats are better off at a shelter. My wife says I'm heartless. You? John Gold, Biddeford, Maine.
Yeah.
understandably want a clean yard, your cat trapping is at best premature. First, speak to your neighbors, and not just those next door. Describe your plans and note that there are good reasons to keep cats inside. As Ingrid Newkirk, president of PETA, puts it, quote, cats are at risk of disease, being hit by cars, running afoul of people with evil intentions who will harm them, dog attacks, rabies, and more if left outside, close quotes. Next, before consigning a cat to a shelter, give the cat's owner a chance to retrieve it. This might mean posting flyers around the neighborhood. Contrary to your assertion, cats may be better off at a shelter, only in the sense that in this vale of tears, we'd all be better off dead, such is the fate of many animals left at shelters without a no-kill policy. You must learn what your shelter does with a cat that is not promptly adopted, and confirm that the shelter screens adopters. Shelter cats have been turned over to laboratories and to individuals who subject them to cruel fates. Better to consider gentler deterrents. Those electronic gizmos that repel unwanted animals. A dog. Update. Quote, for the sake of marital harmony, close quotes, Gold stopped trapping cats.
I am the crown prince of Hollywood. You know I'm a fluid dude. It's exactly that what makes me suitable for the job. Captain, are you ready yet? Super sirens disconnect. Just because I like it like that when I have fame, I'm gonna take you to heaven. Of Hollywood fame, I'm gonna take you to heaven. I will learn how I can fly. I feel it coming together. You will know my name, 'cause I am gonna take you to heaven. I will learn.
That song was called Hollywood. It's by the band John Wayne Shot Me. They're from the Netherlands. And a big fan of John Wayne Shot Me, actually. This album's pretty old. It came out in 2000. But there's something about it I find very appealing. It sounds a little dated, but I love a lot of the melodies that they come up with on these songs, like that the one in Hollywood just there. But I'm going to end the show with a very short song by John Wayne Shot Me. And so we're going to hear Everything Too Fast, which is my favorite song off the album. It's a minute and a half. And it's great. And if you like this song, make sure to check out the album. It's like 20 tracks, which they're not all that good, but a lot of them are. So, you know, you can get a 10-track album out of it that's totally good, if you want. Anyway, John Wayne Shot Me with Everything Too Fast. Finishing up this, the first episode of Season 6 of The Sounds of My Head.
Everything's too fast.
That does it for this episode of The Sounds in My Head. The music I talked over this week was Spring Will Be Late This Year, which I thought was apt because I'm pretty late at this year episode. It was by Red Garland from his album All Kinds of Weather. Very good stuff. I also talked over Root Beer Rag by Billy Joel, a song I love. Always have. And Gay Peace by the 1900s. If you'd like what you hear on The Sounds in My Head, tell your friends to listen. We'll see you again in 2 weeks on March 30th for an all-new episode of The Sounds in My Head.